Go to Luke chapter 12. Much is the same teaching here called the watchful servant. It's mentioned in two places, but this one here of the two parables, of the same parable just once in another gospel, this is the only one of the two, though, that talks about the lamp. So you actually see a continuation to a degree. Let your waists be girded and your lamps burning. Okay, so again, he brings the portion, Luke 12, 35. And he's telling them what? That you must be ready. Your lamps must be burning if you're going to be watchful, the faithful and watchful servant. Your waist be girded. Okay, Peter has something to say about this. 1 Peter. Chapter 1, 13 through parts of 16. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Remember, one of the weapons, armor, the armor for the spiritual man, was the belt of truth, similar, the girdle of truth. And notice what he says is, gird up. Usually this word means to be prepared, get ready to do something. Remember when Elijah was after the fire fell, and after he prayed and saw the cloud coming, he told Ahab, get your chariots and get moving, lest the rain stops you. And he was basing that on a small cloud he saw. And then it started to thicken, and it said he girded up his loins and he outran the chariot. You know, in the Spirit of the Lord. So again, it means, when we're told, several times expressions used, it means to prepare for battle, to be prepared for something. You know, get ready, put in your armor on, and the girding up often, these were, they wore longer, what we'd call skirt-type things, and to run, they had to pull them up and tie them around their waist and between their legs so they could run. Otherwise, they couldn't really do anything. So this was basically what he's saying. So Peter's saying, gird up the loins of your mind. Get your mind prepared and ready for something. Be serious. Again, if you're going to be watchful, you have to be serious. Sober. That's basically what it means. Not to have your mind drunk or in a daze or sleepy. See, this is basically drowsy, dull. So he's using terminology we can understand. And that you put your rest and your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ when he comes. So you are being serious and sober and prepared because this great wedding's coming. This great, coming of the Lord is going to have a great event that's going to happen and you're going to be brought into this. You know, and that some great reward's going to be waiting for you, you know, if you're watching and you're prepared. As obedient children, remember the foolish virgins were foolish and disobedient. Often it's linked with being faithful means you are obedient. Hebrews translates often interchangeable unbelief with disobedience and belief with obedience. It won't separate them. So it's explaining to you, obedience is not mental assent. Obedience and faith is not saying, Lord, Lord. It's obeying the Lord, you know. So it carries through with what it really means to be committed to the Lord. Not saying, but I know you were in the streets, and don't you remember us, Lord? And he says, I don't know you. You know, you weren't obedient to me. You didn't submit to my lordship, therefore you're not mine. Yet they still recognized who he was, even as the demons do. But it did not make change the situation and did it. So what does it say? As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as you did in ignorance. Often ignorance and foolishness are used together. See, often it's not an excuse. Today, see, we equate the foolish and ignorant as maybe having something wrong with them mentally. In the Bible context, it's always associated with disobedience and rebellion. Or not wanting to listen, you know. When Jesus said men love darkness and will not come to the light, they are foolish, but they're willfully foolish. Like Paul said, they're willfully ignorant. I mean, if you don't want to know the light, God judges you as if you heard the light and rejected it. So, see, many people think what I don't know won't hurt me. So they purposely do what? They shut their ears thinking, well, now that I don't know that, you know. You're getting into a lawyer jogging then, you know, and splitting hairs. But see, that won't happen with the Lord. There won't be no splitting hairs. He will judge motive and intent. So many will say, well, I didn't know that, Lord. And the Lord will say, but you had opportunity, therefore you're guilty. And they will be speechless. See, they won't say, well, my preacher didn't tell me that. And the Lord may say, or their conscience will say to them, but you had a Bible. And you could watch 8 hours of television a day. And you could do everything else you wanted all day long. And you stepped over your dusty Bible because you didn't want to know. But you're still accountable. You know, that will not excuse you. See? So this is why he's telling us we're to be obedient. We're not to conform to our former lust. The foolish virgins conformed back to their own way, back to doing what they wanted. And they did not take the warning seriously. And they did not abide in the Lord. They did not walk in the Spirit anymore. You know, and they did not do what they were told. And then all of a sudden they wanted to get ready at the last minute out of fear. Well, see, many people will try this. But God will have shut the door. Many people think they're going to get ready on their deathbed. I believe in very few deathbed repentance. I believe they're the rarity. And especially to people in the Western world who have plenty of light and opportunity and never wanted it. Had minimum light through everything and they still, well, I ain't got time for this. But they get scared. Well, they have a right to be scared. When a sinner begins to enter into the next realm, and he is not ready to meet God, horror is going to come upon him. As when in the book of Revelation, when Jesus returns to judge the nations, the wicked are going to do what? They're going to run to the caves and cliffs and beg to fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. See, they know it's too late for mercy. They know judgment's coming. So when people die sometimes, they have the spiritual instinct what's waiting them, and they know they can't get right. And preachers can tell them all they want to tell them, and they can have all kinds of rites and water sprinkled on them, and lying ministers tell them everything, but they themselves often know it's hopeless. See? Because many had opportunity, and they weren't ready. They found their lives, and Jesus said, then you will lose it eternally. Let me give you a little hint. You cannot find your life in the last 3 minutes of your life when you've rejected the gospel for 30 years. There's no such teaching in Scripture. That's demonic teaching. Too much in Scripture that says that God will mock your fear at the end. See, because you're caught. You're just afraid of the judge. You're not repentant. You're remorseful. You know, you're scared because you know what the judge is going to. But that's not repentance. See, Paul called that, he said, worldly sorrow works death. You don't leave. Godly sorrow, repentance, leads to a change. So, of course, everybody wants to change when it's too late. I'm sure everybody in hell wants to repent now. No question about it, is it? Every one of them is sorry. Every one of them, if they had to do it over, they would change. But see, grace's door has been shut. So notice what it says. As in your former ignorance, before you were enlightened, you conformed yourself to the world. But now you are what? You are children of grace. You are to put on truth. You are to be loyal to the Lord. But as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. And all of your living is what it means. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. This is the requirement when the Lord comes to go. A person must be walking in holiness. And that means you have to have the oil. And that means you must be abiding in the vine and bearing fruit and submitting to the Lordship of Christ. That's what it means. It doesn't mean you believe this. It means you must be doing this. You know, you must be practicing this. The mental ascent is very little. Okay? Go on back. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master. So we're told to wait for him. When he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. It means when he comes to knock, He's not going to be waiting around. He's not going to wait for you to get ready. He's not going to wait for you to trim your lamps. He's going to knock. And if you don't see, again, it was a lesson of the watchman and the doorkeeper. He was immediately to be there to open the door for the king. And if he wasn't, he could be put to death for it in many kingdoms. That was his job, to always be ready as the cupbearer. He stood by the king, always ready to serve. He didn't have to go get ready. And so this is the same illustration. He must be ready always when the master calls for him. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. See, they're guards, and they're watching for him. And when they see him coming, they start opening the door, and they do what he tells them to do. And they're not drunk and sleeping and off doing their own thing. That would be considered being a traitor and disloyal. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself. Now notice, we are told to have our lamps burning and have our garments girded, you know, and our armor on. And what is the response of this? If we are faithful and loyal, he's going to do something. He himself will gird himself and have them sit down and eat and will come and serve them. It's almost the illustration of the marriage supper of the Lamb. See, we will have been proven our loyalty, and then we shall enter into the joys of the Lord. And so he's saying he will do much for us. You know, that is the reward of having watched. And if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Second and third watch goes into 2 o'clock in the morning, up into 4 in the morning, even up until daybreak. It means however long and dark it gets, you watch. It's inexcusable to sleep. Why? Because if he gives you grace and he gives you his oil, he gives you the ability to do what he requires. He's not asking something that cannot be done. He gives the ability for us to do this. So again, it's a spiritual enabling. But know this. He wants you to know something. That if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Again, you find that Christ, on several illustrations, he likens himself to a thief. Only in what context? That the thief comes unexpectedly. You know, he never likens himself as someone stealing anything. He's used in the illustration that the thief usually always came in darkness and came in unaware. While you are sleeping and not watching, he steals your goods. In a sense, he comes to rob your soul if you're not alert. You know, Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Peter said, what? Be watchful and steadfast. You know, be prepared for battle and prepared to hold your own when he comes, or you'll be eaten, is the implication. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you will not expect. And who is he talking to? His own. See, he's telling them. And again, he may not come for 5 years or 10 or 20, but he may come for you tonight. So it won't matter, will it? And most people for 2,000 years, he didn't come, did he? He did not come on his horse, but he came for them. And if they weren't ready, the same scriptures applied. They didn't go in. So again, we must, if we're ready to meet the Lord today, you'll be ready for the second coming. If you're ready to meet the Lord today, you'll be ready for the rapture. You know, if you're taking up your cross daily and following the Lord, you'll hear the trumpet. But if you're not, when he comes, you can say, Lord, Lord, all you want, and you will not go. See, so it's the point of be ready by death or by translation, doesn't matter. The point is, be ready. That one day the master's going to call, and we're going to go before him. Okay? Go to verse 4. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in the hour you do not expect. Go to Revelation 17. Look at verse 15. Behold, this is Christ speaking. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Here again he says it. Blessed is he who watches. Who's blessed? Those who watch. And he don't leave it. So in case you think he means just mentally like all these television evangelists, oh, we're just going to watch, and when he comes, we're going to escape tribulation. No, every one of them are going to be left because they're carnal, lukewarm, worldly, and most of them aren't Christians. They've got mental assent religion. Did I give you the right scripture?
No.
Okay, 16:15. I saw everybody searching. I said, they can't find this. Okay, 16:15. But notice what he says, I come as a thief. Blessed is he who watches. But he doesn't stop here. He explains part of what the watching means. And keeps his garments. And keeps his... So your lamps have to be burning. And your garments have to be white. Your garments have to be pure. Okay? We'll go back to our scripture that we understand. But first he says, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. See, those do not want to be naked when the Lord comes, because it means they're not in the Lord anymore. Proof of this, go to Revelation 3, the Laodicean church. Look at 17. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, you do not know. See, that's terrible. We should know this, that you are wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. See, the sad state that they didn't know that, and Jesus had warned, don't let this happen to you. Keep your garments right. You know, keep your lamp burning. Be watchful and you won't be this way. And notice what he says. I give you advice. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, spiritually rich. And white garments, you need to buy this from me, that you may be clothed and the shame of your nakedness shall not be revealed. See, what was he saying to this church as a whole? You make me sick to my stomach and I'm ready to vomit the whole church out. But as far as the individuals, they were already lost. If they were naked and didn't know it, they didn't have the garments on anymore. But they didn't know it. They were still going through the motions. They were like the foolish virgins, banking their walk on something that had in the past that wasn't kept. Okay? And then John makes it very clear again. Go to 1 John. Chapter 2, look at 28. And now, little children, abide in him. Keep the oil burning, is what he's saying. Walk in the Spirit. That when he, Christ, appears, we may have faith and confidence, is what it means, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That we will what? Not be ashamed at his coming. Go down to verse 3. And everyone who has this hope, what, of his coming for us, purifies himself just as he, the Master, is pure. So he's already keeps warning, you know, to have your garments right means you have to be walking in holiness. And to do that, you have to be walking in the Spirit. You have to have the oil. You have to be led of the Spirit and empowered and inspired, or you're not going to be able to do this. This is how you're going to abide and produce the spiritual fruit and works that God requires to prove that you are in the faith and you have remained in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and have not grieved, quenched, or despised the Spirit of grace, and he's departed. And so, see, this is the lesson then for us, is that we are to watch. He's talking again to his own. Those who haven't heard the gospel and those who weren't given this, how could they be watching for something they haven't heard? How could they believe in a gospel that wasn't given to them? We have to understand that many times Jesus made it plain who he was talking to. That people have to remain loyal to the Lord, regardless of what all these false teachers are telling you. It's a lie. You must begin with the Lord, you must continue with the Lord, and you must finish with the Lord. And if you don't abide in the vine, and if you don't stay led of the Spirit, then you will fall away and be rejected when the Lord returns or when you drop dead and face God. He will not remember what you had. He will judge you as when the tree fell, and what you were like, either unjust or holy, when you died. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you warn, because you anticipate and knew the darkness we would come against. You understood the power of Satan. You understood the drawings of the old nature, that even with knowledge and with spiritual experience, we can so easily revert back to the world and to the flesh and be led astray if we don't keep the oil in us, if we don't keep using the oil and keep being filled and keep obeying and trusting the Lord, that we can be lured back to the old way and become backslidden and carnal and lukewarm and worldly and ultimately reprobate and be to the place where you'll shut the door that no man could open anymore. We thank you, Lord, that you warn us that we will not go that route, that you warn us to show us that we are responsible to keep the lamp filled, that it's not your responsibility. It's our responsibility to abide in the vine. You didn't tell us you would keep us against our will. You've given us too many commands and instructions that say we must do this. Yet we know we do it by the Spirit's help. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.